adjust defensively, you know, Harmony came out like on fire. I think she scored Harvard's first nine, and then she was pretty quiet after that. How'd you guys kind of, you know, deep breath adjust to that one?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, I think that, like, Harmony is obviously a really talented player. You know, she's a scorer. I do think she's a playmaker, but, like, you know, you can't make her both. You can't make her deadly enough to score and pass, right? So you got to take away one or the other. So I think early in the game, we were kind of like giving her a cushion, letting her get hers, right? And then adjust to the game plan. And once we adjusted, and, you know, getting Kitty back was huge, just to, like, get a physical body that could just run around, like, with her, right? You get on the loose balls, be first, make, you know, be physical with her, generally speaking. You know, but I think early on, you know, she's streaky too. Like, she can score in bunches. So it was really about making sure that we weren't allowing them to just continue to get second chances to in-out scores. There was a couple possessions where I feel like they got loose that way, much as we did. But overall, you know, I think we were able to keep her at bay after that first quarter, you know, just making sure we found her, we ID'd her early in transition, and also put pressure on her. Yeah.
Just one more for me, and then I'll share the wealth. But CeCe had a pretty impressive streak going from mid-December until Friday, where she shot at least 50% from two in every game, like 2 months of that. What has made her so consistently efficient for you this season?
Yeah, she is one of the most enjoyable kids to coach. Like, because she's not the hardest on herself. She's hard on herself, but she's like, she can move on to the next thing, right? And she's not a perfectionist. So, I mean, we get in the gym every day. Like, I have like a breakfast club. They call it the breakfast club. Like, we get, like, literally there's like five kids I'm in the gym with, plus like my assistants are in the gym before they lift, before practice. And CeCe's in that group every single day. Like, she's gets shots up with Kitty every single night. Like, she's just a gym rat. She loves the game that much that I think she's learning how to be so efficient with what she's doing. That I'm not surprised she's producing that way, right? Like, if she wasn't putting the work in and was just like lucking egg, hey, you know, she's just riding this high. Yeah, I'd be like, hey, you know, that's probably gonna, some point that fire's gonna die down, but she puts the work in all the time. So I think her efficiency is just a byproduct of, again, her preparation.
Has she hit like a wall at all? I know, you know, there's the freshman wall, and obviously she's not a freshman, but her first year, has she hit any of that, or just straight on perfect?
No, yeah, she definitely hit a wall early on in her career, like early on here. You know, I think right away, there's always that, like, hey, how do I insert myself into a new team's culture, leadership? And I felt like she was just such a great teammate. And then we got to a point, you know, pretty much right after like the December San Francisco trip, where I was like, hey, listen, like, you need to start using your voice more. Like, you can't just like support Kitty and Abby. You know, like, you've got to see yourself as an equal to their leadership now. And that was like, it was a wall in a different way. Like, it was almost like she was just being in her role too much, right? And I'm like, listen, like, you're going to be a leader of this team, like, very soon. And you can decide, do I want to do that next season or do I do it now? And so I think for her, that uncomfortable period was being able to call teammates up, you know, being able to admit in front of everybody when she was doing things wrong. Like, I think it's that just awareness piece was honestly her biggest obstacle so far this season.
That makes sense. All right, I will share.
Jen, thank you as always. Richard, Ken.
Hey, thanks. Hey, Megan, how are you?
Richard, good to see you.
Saturday strikes me as kind of a weird day at Columbia with such a huge game and also a very large men's game at night. When I first saw the schedule a couple months ago, I was stunned. How did that happen?
So the us and the men changed our schedules this season. So the women decided we wanted to split this weekend from Penn and Princeton. And it wasn't just that just happened to be our Penn and Princeton weekend. So the men had three back-to-backs in a row, and we decided to take that middle back-to-back and put that as our first game of the season. So that's why we played Penn on January 6th, and the men didn't have a game until like the weekend, literally like right before Martin Luther King as well, but they didn't play the double that we did on Martin Luther King weekend. So they just moved, they split Martin Luther King weekend, and they kept this back-to-back, and we did the opposite.
Is it going to be a tough deal logistically? Because I think the men's game is it six, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think so, right? I think, you know, we have a great facilities team here that can handle this turnaround, and we've had doubleheaders before, and you know, obviously there's a little bit more added excitement with a sold out crowd senior day, but I'm confident they'll flip it over quickly.
Was there any attempt to get the women's game on ESPNU or ESPN News, given how significant it is, or does the Saturday create too many issues?
I'm going to jump in on that. So
the
way that it works with the linear games is it's all through the Ivy League as part of their agreement with ESPN. So those games are decided ahead of the season, and they're decided by the league and ESPN. So we really don't get, the schools individually don't necessarily get a specific say.
Okay. That's it for me. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Richard. And Rob Brown.
First of all, I guess I want to talk about maybe some roster changes that have been gone on. It doesn't look like Noah's on the website, on the roster. And I haven't, don't know if I've seen Mary on the bench. So are those anything that you want to or can talk about?
Yeah, I'm not going to comment much on them. You know, Noah, personal reasons, decided to take a leave of from the team. And same thing with Mary, personal reasons. She's working through some stuff right now.
Okay, cool. With respect to Harvard, in a way, when you're looking at the turnovers and maybe the free throws outside of CC, in a weird way, like you get that win. Is it kind of good to get that out of the way? So, you know, now the team, you can kind of talk to them and say, hey, remember what we did Sunday? Don't do that next week.
Yeah, I think all of them said they're like, we're glad we had that game because you can't just cruise all the time. You know what I mean? Like you got to, great teams have to win ugly games. Right. And I guarantee, you know, take Princeton, for example. I'm sure they said the same thing about Brown. I'm sure they've said the same thing about Penn. Right. Like you just got to realize, like, great teams that know how to win find a way when it's not coming easy. Right. And so missing free throws, foul trouble early in a game. You know, when you have kids that can come in like Nicole Stevens, Perry Page, Riley Weiss and make sure they like they fill those holes and they keep us at bay. Like that's a really good sign. So it gives that experience to a Nicole Stevens. It gives that experience to a Riley Weiss, right? And only prepares us to be a deeper team when you play an opponent like on Saturday.
Senior day, you mentioned that. Last year seemed to be more emotional than I think anyone kind of expected heading into the start of the Cornell game, and it was not the easiest win. With that year under your belt and everyone else's belt, like how are you all approaching the emotions of Saturday?
Well, last year was quite different because the Ivy League championship was on the line, right? Which is, you know, there's more games to be played. And it was, you know, it was like the game before the Ivy tournament. Like it was literally the last regular season game. You know, this is honestly just another chance for us to play a home game before the regular season ends. You know, I'm not going to ignore the fact that these three, you know, four players have had great careers here at all. You know, I think that's the thing that's always... But that's just for them to acknowledge that and be at peace with that and realize they got to set boundaries for themselves. I have this conversation with seniors every single year. It's like, listen, your parents are going to come and it's going to be all about you, their baby girl. Like, they just want to bring their family and everybody. And, you know, it's so exciting. And I'm like, listen, senior day, like, no offense, I hate senior day. Like, I love it for you guys and I love you all, but it's always becomes about not the main thing. So I was like, we just got to keep the main thing, right? And let's just make sure, again, you set the boundaries that you know put you in the best physical, mental, emotional space to go out and play great on Saturday. So, you know, those are just, that's what you got to do. You just got to acknowledge the elephant.